This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
FFT After Dark. Welcome to the show, Adam Azer and Jamie Eisenberg on Sunday night, August 9th. Jamie, where the hell have you been?
I've been in lovely Toronto, Canada for a week.
Well, Toronto is a lovely place, as I recall. Been a while.
I didn't really get to see much of Toronto itself. I saw a lot of Toronto baseball fields. Just want to make sure I get the person's name right. I met Sean, one of the listeners of our show. He was one of the baseball commissioners for the tournament that I was in. So thank you, Sean, for being so helpful and for being a dedicated listener. And then I had a very funny story. My son was playing in a 15U baseball tournament. Mid-pitch, the shortstop of the other team, I'm the third base coach, he says, "Hey, fifth pick, 12-team PPR. Who do I take?"
No way.
Yeah, nice young man from Cleveland, Ohio. Yep, so it was awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a lot.
Yeah, ran into several people that that listened to our show. It was pretty cool.
That's really cool. Yep. Yeah, well, we missed you. You know, it was a big week on the show. It was running backs and wide receivers, and Jamie didn't really get to weigh in on that. So today we're going to save, you know, maybe half the show at least to Jamie to give his thoughts on running back, wide receiver, his strategies, sleepers, breakouts, busts, whatever he wants to talk about there. We do have, just in general, sleepers, breakouts, and busts coming up this week. I have a lot of draftathon stuff to talk to you about in a bit. tinyurl.com/fftdonate2026. But for now, since you've been, you know, back in the swing of things, any interesting rankings adjustments you want to tell the audience about?
I guess the first one was adjusting the Washington pass catchers with the addition of Stephon Diggs. So dropped Terry McLaurin down a few spots. You know, that was, I think he's probably the biggest loser. Well, I guess him and Okonkwo are the biggest losers from the addition of Stephon Diggs, understandably so. You know, he's still a good enough player, if not someone who's going to threaten the target share. You know, we got the report from David Blauer, the statement from David Blauer that it was going to be a lot of targets headed in Terry McLaurin's direction, which is probably still going to happen, but maybe not to the extent that it was prior to the addition of Diggs. And we kind of always knew there was going to be somebody coming. And I think Stephon Diggs, being the player that he is in the season that he just had, that's impactful enough that you should worry about Terry McLaurin a little bit. So I dropped him from like wide receiver 17, 18 to like 23. So, you know, basically around. Moved Diggs up a little bit, obviously, with the signing, knowing that where he's, you know, going to be playing now. And then dropped Chick Okonkwo, who was, you know, I think when we did the tight end preview, I said he was my tight end 12 in pencil. He's now dropped to tight end 15. So behind Dallas Goedert, Mark Andrews, two guys who are basically getting drafted ahead of Okonkwo anyway, but I was excited about Okonkwo if he was going to be the second guy in terms of targets for the Commanders, and now we know that he's not.
Did you move Jaden Daniels up?
You know, I considered it. You know, right now he's fifth for me. I basically have him and Joe Burrow. I think I actually do have him and Joe Burrow back to back. So 4 points, it's easy to go with Daniels. The upside, I think, maybe favors Daniels. I just think that if Joe Burrow's healthy, we could get a 5,045 season. 45 touchdown season out of him. So I like Burrow slightly better, but it's basically a coin flip there. Some other rankings moves that I made. I dropped Rashee Rice down a few spots, moved Drake London to wide receiver 6. I think that was where I had Rice. AJ Brown also ahead of Rice. And what I did also was in round 2, I had basically Achane was the cutoff, and then I had a group of wide receivers, and then Barkley and Henry at the end of round 2. I moved Barkley and Henry up ahead of the wide receivers. So it's basically a long run of wide receivers of running backs from like pick 9 through pick 15 or 16. So it's just all running backs there. I'm sorry. No, I have CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson wedged in between those guys.
Why did you move Rice down?
Just with the still being a little sluggish off the knee injury and just looking at it like he's going to get fed. I do think, you know, you've heard me say this quite a bit, that the Chiefs receiving core probably was terrible on paper. Now you're getting Cyrus Allen making some plays. Yeah. You know, we'll see what Xavier Worthy is, but I do think that it's not going to necessarily have to be all Rashee Rice. Plus, I also think you're going to hear me talk about on CBS Express, FFT Express, that Ken Walker is somebody that I've been excited about since the signing. I think you've known that where I've been drafting him. They're going to be a run heavy team, more run heavy than we've seen in the last few years. And I think that's going to impact the passing game across the board.
Okay. Yeah. It's an interesting call with Rashee Rice, cause he's basically been the most consistent wide receiver and really damn good, you know, 18, 19 points per game since breaking out as a rookie. But seeing him run that way, it did just make me think, is he back yet? Is he back to being normal? And then he walked off the field with a trainer on Saturday, which apparently isn't a big deal or anything like that. Heath mentioned that he saw another video of Rashee Rice where he, you know, like destroyed a defensive back and looked great, whatever. So
yeah, listen, I'm not running away from Rashee Rice by any stretch. It's just London having a good camp. You know, I think he'll benefit with Tua and the offense there. They're just going to get funnel targets. I think you look at Brown, and that's really the one that is the tough one for me is AJ Brown. He hasn't had a great camp. He had the thumb injury. So far, at least, you know, so I should say has a good camp. There's been mixed reports just in terms of the early part of the rapport with Drake May. So I think all three of those guys, London, Brown, Rice, they're going to lead their team in targets by a significant margin, or at least lead their team in targets, just say by a significant margin. They'll lead their team in targets, have the opportunity to be very dominant this year. The other one was, you know, it's hard to, you know, avoid what Malik Nabers is doing. So moved him up a few spots. He's still in round three for me, but close to the start of round three. So moved him into the top 15. Trying to think of any other significant changes. We're going to talk about a few of these rookie wide receivers that are doing well. Caleb Douglas, Cyrus Allen, who I mentioned, Jacoby Lane, all having strong training camps. They were not in my top 200 prior to this morning. Put all three right in the top 150. Caleb Douglas will be the Dolphins receiver that I would draft first now ahead of Malik Washington. Cyrus Allen is somebody I think that's worth a late round flyer, and Jacoby Lane also same thing, late round flyer, you know, guys that could hopefully do something, maybe going to take a few weeks, but strong camps, good reports with their quarterbacks right now. Hard to overlook what they've been doing so far.
Okay. And yeah, we will talk about some other training camp risers. We'll talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. One other one of significance, Jonathan Brooks ahead of Chuba Hubbard.
Oh yeah. What was the final straw there?
It's just, again, hard to ignore what we're seeing and hearing. You know, guy having a strong camp. I think if you remember, I said this basically since free agency when they let Rico Dowdle walk and following the draft. Their moves were telling us one of two things. Either they're fully back in on Chuba Hubbard or they're fully confident that Jonathan Brooks is going to be good or both. But I think if they have their opportunity to feature Brooks, they're going to feature Brooks. So it's as you see, if you're looking on YouTube, they're one spot apart, but with Brooks one spot ahead.
Yeah, RBs 30 and 31 for Jamie. RB 31 for Dave is Jonathan Brooks. 36 is Chuba Hubbard. And for Heath, RB 33 is Brooks. And Hubbard is outside the top 36. Now, I'm curious to know if you're going to move any of the Commanders down even more with Laremy Tunsil out for, looks like, most of the season. We'll talk about that in a second. But man, do we have some exciting stuff to tell you about with our draft-a-thon. tinyurl.com/fftdonate2026. Just please go there. We are over the 90,000 mark. That is awesome. We are selling spots still in the FFT Open. If you're in an FFT Open league already, if you've bought a spot and that league is full, we will probably send out league invites tonight. I think we're going to start the drafts on the what would be the 24th, I want to say, whatever that Monday is. I think we'll start the untimed drafts there. We have plenty of time to get these done, but we've got a live mock draft on Tuesday night, and you can pay to be in, and everything goes to St. Jude, by the way. This is our fundraiser for St. Jude. So you can pay to be in these mock drafts. You can pay extra to have your team written up in the story that Jamie will write for the next day. But those are going to start now tomorrow for most of you who are listening, Tuesday the 11th of August. And we will have a live draft for you at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday at 7 p.m. Eastern. So please join us there. And also, we're going to have a bunch of auction items going up. Can you scroll up to or wherever the auction house is? There it is. On the page, on the Draftathon page, if you click on View Auction House, you'll see some of our auction items. So that's how you can get like Zoom calls with us. And so many other things. I can't even think off the top of my head what it is, but just like really cool things that you can bid on. Oh, spots in the podcast league, of course. Spots in our Superflex League, which is our other podcast league, which is the Leftovers League. So this is really fun stuff. And this is, we're going to raise a lot of money for St. Jude here. If you want to play in fantasy leagues with us or the Cover Three guys and things like that, you'll see the auction house.
But. Can I tell my favorite auction story?
Oh, sure.
So we would have these spots. Do I sound funny now?
No, you're okay. I mean, always sound funny, a little funny. But.
We would have these auction, these Zooms with audience members, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were about to record a podcast. We did one of our Zooms. And the person I did the Zoom with, his name is Todd. He's been on our show a few times. He said, I will pay you X amount of dollars to be in a fantasy league with you. And, you know, we get these offers from time to time from people saying they want to pay to be in leagues with us, or, hey, will you, you know, be in a FFPC league with me or whatever. So I was like, oh, yeah, cool. You know, I'll think about it, whatever. Got off the phone with him. We did our show. I think you remember. I said, you know, hey, I got this offer, whatever. And I said, you know what? Let's all call him. We'll all call him back. So we all called him back. And that was about 6 or 7 years ago. And he's been the most generous donor to St. Jude's that we've ever had. I've shared a podcast league team with him since then. We won it last year together. And somebody I consider a friend now. And just an amazing situation that came off of somebody that wanted to donate and then continue to be as generous as anybody could.
If any of you have, if you want to be generous with us, that'd be amazing. Even if you don't donate through the Draftathon, donate to St. Jude. But if you want to donate through the Draftathon, tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. Okay, back to the show. All right, Washington left tackle Laremy Tunsil tore his triceps. He is going to miss significant time. He played 14 games for Washington, missed the last three. He also played about 24% of the snaps of a game at Kansas City in the middle of the year. And the Commanders did not do well in any of the games without Laremy Tunsil, except for Week 18 when the Eagles benched their starters. But they also didn't have Jaden Daniels in any of those games. Jaden Daniels didn't have Tunsil as a rookie, and he was phenomenal. So what do you think about this situation right now and the fantasy value for the major players on the Commanders?
I think anytime you lose a significant member of the offensive line, think about last year with the Chargers. They had to adjust not only losing Rashawn Slater, but losing Joe Alt. And we saw the numbers. It was a touchdown difference for the offense without Joe Alt on the field. So it's not good. You never want to lose a key player like that, but I think they have enough time now to adjust. He's not out for the majority. He's out for the majority of the season, not out for the entirety of the season. So it could be 9 games. We get him for the second half of the season. We just don't have the exact timeline yet. And I'm sure if they're winning, they will allow him to rest. But if they're winning, then he's doing well. So I think you just kind of view it as still Jaden Daniels benefits with Stephon Diggs and gets hurt a little bit with the loss of Tunsil. The receivers, I think, stayed the same. Really, it comes down to how you feel about the running backs. Neither one, Ja'Cory Krosky and Barrett or Rashad White, are being drafted as starters. They're both being drafted as high-end flexes. That's another rankings change that I made. I like the fact that you're hearing Bill is being used in the passing game a little bit more. I think that's a benefit to him. So I had Rashad White ahead of Bill for a few weeks. So it not good, but I don't think it's anything that crushes them in terms of how you're drafting them.
Yeah, I would agree, but I also know the Charger situation you brought up last year, but also every time the Giants lose Andrew Thomas, they stink. I know it could have a pretty big impact.
49ers when they lose Trent Williams. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, it really could. I mean, the Eagles when they don't have Lane Johnson.
Yep.
It could have a big impact. I cannot ignore it.
So go back to the question you asked me with the rankings.
Yeah.
When I said Stephon Diggs, Joe Burrow versus Jaden Daniels. If you're torn, this is something that pushes you in Burrow's direction. If you're torn on McLaurin versus DJ Moore or Jalen Waddle, for example, those type of receivers, pushes you towards other, non-Commanders guys. So stuff like that I get. But I don't think, again, it's something that you run away from these guys because of Tunsil not being there.
Okay, other news items. Luther Burden has a leg injury, a groin injury.
Groin injury.
Yeah, reaction to that from a fantasy angle.
Yeah, it sucks. This is one of those things that we could see linger. So let's hopefully get an update prior to the end of August. It would be great to see him back on the field within a week or two. Ben Johnson kind of downplayed it, and hopefully it's going to be something that's minor. But look, it's going to push you more in the direction of Colston Loveland. It's going to push you more in the direction of Romo Dunze at this point, as it should. And I think if you're just looking at Burton, again, stacking him up against Waddle and Moore and Devontae Adams and Mike Evans and, you know, that whole group, Garrett Wilson, Malik Nabers, you know, wherever you want to start and end that list of number two wide receivers, it's going to drop him down a little bit. So I think if you're smart, you buy the dip. I think if you're afraid of it, then you sort of, you know, go in a different direction. But I think if you still expect great things from Luther Burden, hopefully he'll be okay. Hopefully get him at a cheaper price.
And so right now, would you draft Odunze or Burden first?
I'm still drafting Burden first now, but in a week or two, that might change.
Yeah, it's frustrating. First of all, again, I'll mention it. We've got an extra week basically before the season starts. Season starts later this year than it normally does. And it's tough to know what to make of preseason injuries because I can give you some examples on both ends, right? Last year, A.J. Brown, preseason hamstring injury. I think it really affected him. I believe a few years ago, Cooper Kupp, when he was still a first-round pick, he had a preseason injury and it affected him. Sam Laporta had a preseason injury going into his second season, and that seemed to affect him. He got off to a horrible start. That extended for 2.5 months, basically. On the other hand, we were talking about Jahmyr Gibbs with multiple soft tissue injuries in the preseason. We were talking last year about Devon Achane and maybe missing time early in the season. Sometimes these injuries are a blessing. You get these guys later and they're great. So it could go either way. That's not the best fantasy advice, but I think it's, to me, the most accurate thing is you can't completely discount it, but you can't also be like, oh, well, he's going to be much worse. So basically, I guess you could just, you know, so we're back at zero. Malik Nabers trending toward being ready for week one, according to ESPN. Cam Scataboo left with a leg injury, but it's not serious. A couple of rookie wide receivers having good camps. Malachi Fields for the Giants. Zachariah Branch for the Falcons. More on that in a bit. Jadarian Price has leg soreness, but he should be back soon. Josh Downs has missed two straight practices with a groin injury. Dave also sent me a note from Colts practice, one of the reporters saying that Downs hasn't really been that great working on the outside. So I don't know how much they'll use him there, but so far, according to at least one reporter, not great there. People have been talking about Deshaun Watson getting first-team reps on consecutive days. If that's a sign, we shall see. Jaylen Waddle, muscle tightness, not a huge deal. Miami rookie wide receiver Chris Bell, you know, Jamie mentioned Caleb Douglas, but Chris Bell, coming off the torn ACL, he might play in the preseason, so that's pretty cool. Zay Flowers has a quad contusion. I can't find that damn drop. Michael Pittman, there you go. Pittman, he has a seemingly minor injury. Xavier Worthy has a shoulder injury. I don't think it's a big deal. Deshaun Stripling returned to practice. Mike Evans seems close to returning. And Philadelphia right tackle Lane Johnson said 2026, probably his last year, he's probably going to retire after this season. Meanwhile, Devontae Smith and Mekhi Lemon are still out with hamstring injuries. Players having good camps. You know, you can tell me who are these guys where it's really made a difference for you in your rankings or just the way you're drafting. But Jaden Higgins for the Texans, Dalton Kincaid for the Bills, Miami wide receiver Caleb Douglas, Jamie already said moved him into the top 200. Denver wide receiver Pat Bryant, both of the Cleveland rookie wide receivers, Zachariah Branch for the Falcons, Kenneth Walker, Parker Washington's had a good camp.
I mean, every day it's something different with him. It's just amazing. So
yeah.
I did move him up. I have him at 25. So I would actually draft him ahead of Devontae Adams and Mike Evans right now.
Oh, my. Yeah. It's crazy. My Twitter feed is just Parker Washington highlights.
It's hard to ignore.
Chris Godwin having a good camp.
Yep.
Carnell Tate.
I think it was something that somebody was charting today. The first 7 pass attempts, 4 of them went to Chris Godwin.
Oh my gosh.
Like now that could be just, you know, by design practice, but.
Yeah. Like I said on, I think, Friday's show, I mean, I'm back in. It's worth the risk at this point.
Yeah, I'm back in.
I am.
After your film analysis of his 100-yard game.
He ran the 40 in like 5.3 seconds. I'm back in because even if he's a bust, I mean, he's going in the 90s. It's worth it.
Yep.
Chris Godwin, that is. Carnell Tate, Jacoby Lane, Cyrus Allen, Jalen Naylor, Isaiah Likely been a very popular target. Malik Nabers still not practicing with the team. He's not, you know, he's doing individual stuff.
Yeah, I think from what I heard or saw or somebody said, likely right now the number one target.
Yeah.
And Neighbors will be the number one, but likely two.
Tyler Warren, a good camp. I think that one of the common things you see this time of year is that the rookies get a lot of buzz. The reporters, oh, this rookie's looking great, whatever. We have nothing to compare them to based on previous years, right? So there's always excitement about them. So how many rookie wide receivers did I say on this list?
I will say this, you know, just thinking about it, because I know you pushed back your rookie draft in the league that you commissioned, the ICL you commissioned. I had another friend today text me. He had his rookie draft today. And so I think when you're looking at it, like, we kind of figured there was a pretty strong top of the first round. And then it was a lot of guessing, right? So it was Tyson Lemon as the top receivers, Concepcion. Then it got to that next group of Boston, Cooper. I think Stribling kind of pushed himself into the maybe late first round, early second round.
You want the draft
Antonio
results?
Antonio Williams got a lot of buzz early.
I have the league open if you want the draft results.
No, I'm just thinking about it now. Like, Caleb Douglas, Jacoby Lane, Cyrus Allen, Zachariah Branch. You know, I think Malachi Fields kind of gets pushed aside a little bit once Neighbors is back to full strength. And we'll see if, you know, what happens with Odell Beckham if he makes the team. But like, you're seeing a little bit deeper class that we may get some names that not just help you this year, but help you for several years, you know? So it's fun to see, especially if you hit on a couple of these guys at some point in your rookie draft earlier in, you know, May.
Sure. Absolutely.
Ted Hurst, you know, another guy's gotten some buzz recently too.
Yeah. I mean, Caleb Douglas went 35th in our rookie draft. That could be a great pick right after Brennan Thompson. So, okay. I want to talk about Basil Tuten, but let's take a break here real quick. I've lost kind of track of the time of this show, but let's take a break and let's talk about the Jaguars running backs. That was one thing that was kind of interesting, a development that we saw in camp, and kind of give you some comps for what Basil Tuten might be based on what we saw in practice or what someone saw in practice and relayed the other day. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. Okay, so the Jaguars running backs. Basil Tuten. So they had a practice, and Basil Tuten was getting most of the carries until he got to the 10-yard line. And then that was Chris Rodriguez's time, right? And obviously we know that Quinn Allen's going to play on passing downs. So how concerned are you? Because, you know, I'm excited about Basil Tuten. He's another Jaguar who's getting a lot of buzz right now. They're gonna win the Super Bowl and score 100,000 points. But based on preseason reports. But yeah, like, what's your concern level of Basil Tuten getting, eliminated, basically being Ken Walker from last year? No touchdowns, no catches, basically.
I mean, it seems like the trap back of all trap backs, right? Like, when you're talking about LaQuint Allen, who's last year, you know, I think he gets overlooked because he didn't really do anything, but he was their third down back. They just did not use him as a weapon. They used him as a blocker. And now you're maybe getting him used as a weapon to a certain degree. And now you have a goal line back and a passing downs back. It's kind of like the fear we had or fear we have in Tampa Bay, right? Because Bucky Irving kind of be in a similar spot. At least with Bucky Irving, you've seen him do some other things, be involved in the passing game, work at the goal line, you know. So while there is the threat of Kenneth Gainwell and Sean Tucker, at least there's a resume for Irving. So I think Basil Tuten is appropriately priced. You know, I had moved him up prior to this week. So when I left for my trip, he was, I think, RB22. And I have since dropped him back to RB24, which is where he was prior to the move. So for me, he's in that mix of guys still with Trevion Henderson, who's at the back end of it, but David Montgomery and Bucky Irving, you know, guys that I have some questions of, I think could be really good. You know, I was high on Chris Rodriguez in the early part of the offseason. I still think the value is great because if he does get the touchdown chances, we may get a David Montgomery type of player because, like you said, they're going to score a lot of points, at least based on what the offense seems to be trending toward. So Rodriguez is an injury away from being the first and second down guy and could be the goal line guy on top of that. So Don't want to run away from Tootin, but this recent report that came from I think it's John Shipley or Josh Shipley. I apologize for getting his first name incorrectly, but Shipley covers the Jaguars for USA Today. Does a great job. He's been heavily quoted by a lot of fantasy analysts, he's the one that kind of broke down this this recent trend that we're seeing.
Yeah, John Shipley. And so I looked at some comps of, like, let's say you're a primary ball carrier, but you don't get the carries from the 5-yard line or closer. How good can you be? So I did a search of running backs over the last 3 years, right? 23, 24, 25. And if you start just 2024 and 2025, here are the running backs who have had 150 or more carries on the season, but from the 5-yard line or closer, no more than 5. And there's only been, in the last 2 years, there's only been one player who's, again, 150 or more carries, but no more than 5 carries from the 5-yard line or closer and been awesome. And that was Devon Achane last year. Other than that, we're looking at Bucky Irving last year, who was RB18 per game, Breece Hall, who was RB21, Tony Pollard, who was RB28 last year, Tyrone Tracy Jr., RB32. There were 4 examples of these guys, 150 or more carries, but no more than 5 from the 5-yard line or closer in 2024. And none of them were higher than RB22 per game. So that gives us 9 examples like this of a guy who gets a lot of carries, but not where they count. And only one of them has been better than RB18 per year. Now, I'm glad I was like, I'm going to get one more year in there. Just
while you're looking at this, Travis Etienne did not play for Liam Cohen in 2024. So a different coach.
Yes, Travis Etienne was on here, and he didn't really have that much. Like, he started splitting with Tank Bigsby at the end of 2024.
Right, but what I'm getting at is, don't look at it as this could be Tootin in the same system. It's a different system.
It's true, and he's the worst one on this list. He was RB41. But I think Tony Pollard is a really good comp for what Tootin might be. Now, the difference is Pollard didn't get goal line carries or from the 5-yard line or closer because his team stunk. This wouldn't be that. This would be just getting replaced. But if we look at 2023, there were actually 3 guys who finished in the top 20 per game, including Breece Hall, who was RB6, Bijan Robinson, RB15, and James Cook, RB19. So that gives us 5 guys in the last 3 years who have been in this category and finished top 20 per game, but only one who was better than RB15. And that's, I think, pretty significant. If he's not going to have the goal line role, and I'm not saying he's not, but think about it for anyone who you think won't have the goal line role. It's hard to be better than RB18. It's harder to be better than RB15, obviously. And the other thing is, all of those running backs, by the way, that finished top 20 per game, all 5 of them in the last 3 years, they all had at least 3, maybe 4. I think they had at least 4 touchdown catches. So you need that. I don't know if he's going to get that.
So this is why when you draft matters to a certain extent. This is why understanding certain situations. So you say this all the time, and we don't really argue about this, but I usually push back on this when you say it. So you want to draft Bashel Tootin, I think, with the hope that he's going to be a top 10, top 15 guy, right?
Yes.
Anybody you draft in the first 5 rounds. We have him ranked, I think, consensus, probably around between RB23 and 26. I don't know where Dave and Heath have him, but I know for me he's 24. So I'll stay in that range, you know, low end RB2. I know when I'm drafting a player like this, my hope is, does he crack the top 20? Obviously, if I'm drafting him 24th, I'd like him to be a top 20 guy. I'm not drafting him with the expectations that he's going to be a top 10 guy. I hope he is, but I'm not drafting with that expectation. So I think if you're getting your return on investment, 18, 19, 20, 22, 23, 24, maybe 26, 27, I think you should be okay with that, knowing that how you built your team, maybe he's your 3rd running back, in most cases your 2nd running back. You know what you're getting here. And that's why I almost would say, like, if you're looking at the cost is better to go with Chris Rodriguez. What I mentioned about when you're drafting matters, and I saw each other since our last show at the Flex Draft. I was drafting. You were stopping by to be a kind and considerate person and say hello. And I had a choice, just to veer off for a second. I had a choice between DeAndre Swift and Quinshon Judkins. I have Judkins ranked one spot ahead of DeAndre Swift. At the time, Kyle Monongo was missing practice for about 4 days in a row. Those guys are back-to-back in my running back rankings. They're back-to-back in my overall rankings. I took Swift over Judkins. That's going to be one that I agonize over, because if Judkins is better, that's the player I thought was going to be better, but I went with Swift because of the news. Somebody in this draft, I forget who it was, drafted Tootin, I thought, too soon. This was at the time the buzz was pretty heavy for Tootin. Like I said, before I left for my trip, I adjusted my rankings. I wonder how much buyer's remorse that manager may have if Tootin is in this three-headed monster and a trap back. So you want to keep an eye on the news when you're drafting. And for anybody that's drafting soon, you may get a bargain on a player, let's say like Rodriguez, or in the case of Tootin, if things are pushing his value down, you still love him. But make sure you're keeping an eye on all of these things. You know, stay on top of all the information as much as you can.
Yeah. And I think if he finishes as RB28 or something like that, it's not that bad. It's like a wasted pick, but you'd like to have your fifth or early sixth round pick have that kind of upside. I'm not sure how many guys after him.
So let me I'll ask you this, because I kind of think I know the range of guys he's going in. So David Montgomery or Basil Tuke?
Yeah, I'd have to say Montgomery.
I would agree. Basil Tuten or Jalen Warren?
Tuten.
I would agree. Trevion Henderson or Basil Tuten?
Tuten.
I would agree, but that's a close one. Ramondre Stevenson or Basil Tuten?
Tuten.
Yep. So it's that kind of range of guys. I think Bucky Irving is another one. Comp, I would take Irving over him, but similar.
Yeah, no, I would go Irving, and then I would really struggle between Montgomery and Tootin.
I have it Montgomery, Irving, Tootin right now.
We shouldn't take one practice as this is what's going to happen throughout the year.
But it makes sense, though.
It does make sense. I just think if Tootin comes out and he plays really well, you know, then he'll earn a bigger role. He won't be the goal line back. Because Tootin is not some like little dude. He's lightning fast, but he's actually pretty physical too. He's kind of like a little fast bowling ball, I think, a little bit. And he could be physical as well.
We heard Scott Turner talk about this, joint practices versus preseason games.
Yeah.
They're about to practice with the Panthers coming up in a week, and we'll probably get a good idea of what their roles will be a little bit more defined.
All right. Hey, did you know that I'm going to be in Florida in a couple weeks for the tennis match?
I heard.
And the Giants are at the Dolphins. How fun is that?
Can't get any better.
Yeah, we all get to go to the Giants-Dolphins game. Me and Dan and everyone else who wants to go. So we'll see you there. You're going to go?
Heard you're buying everybody tickets in a suite. That's
bro, so nice. It probably costs $200 to buy a full suite for the preseason game.
Preseason games are expensive, dude.
I saw today, like $13 upper deck.
Okay.
We're good. The food will be more expensive. All right, Jamie, let's talk about some running backs.
I'm only going if Schaefer's going.
Schaefer? Yeah, Schaefer, you should come too. We should all go. You can watch my kids as they run around the stadium. Jamie, running back. Let's start with your running backs. Give me a running back strategy. What do you got?
I think this is a good year to go running back if you can. I wouldn't force it. I wouldn't necessarily reach for somebody that you don't want to take in the second round. But if you have an opportunity to take any of these players that are going in round two, and based on ADP, it could start with Chase Brown, but Ken Walker, if Genty's in round two, we don't see that very much. But Hampton, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, the receivers that you're passing on, again, could be A.J. Brown, could be Rashee Rice, could be Nico Collins, could be George Pickens, whoever you think is going in round two, Devontae Smith. Some of those guys are going to be there in round three. And I think if you feel comfortable enough with those guys, again, we're going to talk about a draft that I built of just my guys that I like on FFT Express from the 10 spot. So just using ADP, Chase Brown round one, his ADP is 12. So picking at 10, got him at what his cost would be. Ken Walker ahead of his ADP in round two. Devontae Smith in round three. Colston Loveland was in round four. Again, I don't want to spoil the whole FFT Express, but you get the point. Like, you're getting really good players. And so depending on where you are in the first round, you can get two good running backs. I think the drop-off is pretty steep. I know you've made the case. I think you did it on the RB, running back preview show. Maybe it was the first one or second one, about Josh Jacobs being one of the best values this year. He's dealing with a groin injury. We still don't know when his legal situation could, rear its head and become a problem for him if it does. But really, after Jacobs, like Jeremiah Love, upside is immense, but we just don't know how much he's going to be sharing. Kyren Williams could be sharing, and you start to see the fall off, I think, really after those guys. Those are really the only three guys I think we see going round three. Maybe Javonte Williams, Breece Hall at the back end of round three.
Yeah.
But if I can get two running backs early, I think I'm actually going to do it. And it's not something that I'm used to doing probably in about 20 years, but not a bad strategy to go about this year.
Okay. Very interesting. Let's take a break and get a little bit more into running backs, and then we'll talk about wide receivers. We'll be right back on FFT. Okay, Jamie, so you're cool taking two running backs to start, and I don't disagree with it. I like to be running back receiver in some form because I don't want to feel pigeonholed on my third pick. I don't want it to be like, well, I have two running backs. I can't take a running back, but Ken Walker fell to me in the third round. You know what? Obviously, you could take three. I don't want to feel like, man, I can't take my favorite player on the board because I already have two running backs or two wide receivers. Just,
well, I think once you go that route, you have to be open to still taking best player available if it falls in your lap. And, you know, again, I think where you pick in the first round is probably going to be important, because if you're picking 3, 4, 5, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, I guess, you're probably looking at Chase, Puka, JSN, and St. Brown. And so then you're going receiver. I would probably go receiver running back there personally. But again, I would also not try and pigeonhole yourself. You know, so to reference the flex draft, I picked fourth, Drake London, because it was a very heavy running back draft. This half PPR, very heavy running back draft. There was 12 running backs selected before my second pick. I took Drake London in round two. Come back in round three, you don't have to play a tight end, but you have two flex spots. I took Trey McBride. Round four, there's T. Higgins still sitting there. So I don't have a running back through the first four rounds. And then my first two running backs are DeAndre Swift and Tony Pollard. Now the build, I'm perfectly fine with. I threw a lot of darts at the running back position after those guys, you know. So it was Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, it was J.K. Dobbins, it was Tyrone Tracy, it was Ray Davis Lath, or somebody else I'm missing in there. But a lot of just dart throws at, you know, guys that I hope can maybe win a job and challenge Swift or Pollard in my lineup. But, you know, I don't think you should ever go into a situation where, okay, I'm targeting two running backs. I think it's easier if you're picking at the back end of round one, because you kind of have that pool of players.
Yeah.
Beginning to the middle of round one, it kind of, you know, you're going to know who you're getting in the first round, and then it kind of dictates to you what you do in round two. But I think you're right. You know, we've had a couple of those drafts where I've said, oh, I didn't like going running back, running back, running back, but I did it. You know, there was one in particular where I took Breece Hall in the third round, or no, I think it was a hero wide receiver approach, where it was two running backs, receiver, and then Breece Hall in round four. You know, so he was the best player on the board. So I think it's just one of those situations where the running back position feels very, very top heavy. And if you can get two of those guys early, like you said, you may see Barkley, Derrick Henry, Ken Walker, however the draft may unfold, where those guys are there in round three, early part of round three, especially once we start to see the quarterbacks maybe get pushed into round two a little bit, Josh Allen in particular. It's not a bad idea to sort of play the board that way, but I think that's if you're picking in the early part of round one as opposed to the back end.
So with wide receiver, me, Heath, Dave, we had sort of established about 25, 26 wide receivers that sort of run close to the end of round five, 60th overall. We'd love to get two of them. Wouldn't mind getting three of them, but we'd love to walk away with two of those guys. It's kind of important. Do you feel that way about any number of running backs? I want two of my top blank running backs.
I mean, again, I think once you start to dip into the pool of, you know, I know Dave would say Breece Hall, but so we could say Breece Hall, Judkins, Scadaboo, Swift, Tootin, Henderson. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anybody there. Irving.
Yeah.
Montgomery, you know, those guys, like, it just starts to get a little, oh, I don't love it, but I, you know, I can see the upside. Like, you're trying to convince yourself, right? And so it's a hard sell. I think there's definitely 22 that I feel okay with. You know, kind of Montgomery, I think, is the cutoff for me, you know, where I could see the workload being okay and the offense being okay and the role being okay. But it just, you know, once you start to have to justify, okay, Rashad White's my RB2. Ramondre Stevenson's my RB2. You know, so the hero RB route can still work and work great, you know, especially if there's an injury that unfolds to a certain backfield and you end up with the second guy that ends up as the starter. But like, you know, unless you're just comfortable with a lot of depth. So again, to reference the draft that I did, you know, everybody was loading up on running backs. I didn't have that luxury starting Puka, getting Drake London. And so I wasn't going to reach for somebody just to get a player of a certain position. So, you know, a little bit of a weird draft, a league, because no tight end and you could play two flexes. So you could essentially start five wide receivers. But I think when you start to stack it up, like the wide receiver pool feels deeper. The running back pool feels more top heavy. Like, you know, once you get past, we've discussed this a lot. Once you get past St. Brown, there's questions. And that's four guys. You know, so there's questions with CeeDee Lamb. There's questions with Jefferson. There's questions with London, you know, to varying degrees. But it's like, okay, I know if Derrick Henry stays healthy, what I'm getting. I know if Saquon Barkley isn't more involved in the passing game, he's going to probably bounce back and be special. Jenty could be awesome. Hampton could be awesome. Like, it doesn't feel like there's that many questions.
Yeah. I mean, certainly there are always questions, but it's good. I mean, I love round two. I just love round two. I think round two is awesome at running back and wide receiver. And I think you should, there's really no reason not to love your first two picks. I think if you're picking early, to me, honestly, there's no reason not to love your first three picks. Once you start to get to the mid and late first round picks, round three gets a little bit tougher. Running back, if you don't get one of those or two of those top 22-ish guys, I think we'd be okay with Tony Pollard as our RB2. He's not that exciting, but you know he's going to get some work where we don't really know what Jalen Warren's workload is going to be, and guys like Enrico Dowdle. J.K. Dobbins, if we knew he was going to play 17 games, if we thought he was going to play 17 games, he might be higher up. He could get you through the beginning of the season as your RB2, more so in non or half PPR. Maybe Jordan Mason with a late pick. Maybe Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. Like, these guys will emerge. Do you have any mid to late round targets that you find yourself drafting a lot at the position?
I mean, Jonathan Brooks, you know, is an easy one right now. Just the more buzz and more hype that he gets, it's easy to gravitate toward him. I like the pass catching guys, you know, so Gainwell and Rashad White. I think they're going to have, you know, enough of a role in PPR that they're worth taking a shot on. Conversely, I think, you know, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, if there is any truth to him being involved in a passing game, that's awesome because he closed last season playing very well. I think it's the most important thing I think that you can do in your draft is once you have, I would like to have three. Two is the easy number, but three would be the ideal spot. So if you have your two starters and one guy that could be potential flex for you or work in your starters, start to take swings at guys that have just immense upside, mostly if there's an injury that occurs. So, you know, we've talked about this. You've done a great job illustrating this in regards to two players in particular, Blake Corum and Kyle Manungai, right? So you look at those two guys. If they did get starting roles on their teams, we're talking about potential top 10 running backs there because the other guy would be off the field and they would most likely get featured down work. So those are two easy swings. So when you're comparing them to, and you know, this comes down to, you know, who you favor and I think what your build is. So Corum versus Dobbins, right? You just said if Dobbins plays 17 games, well, that doesn't happen very often. Right. Plus there's now potentially three guys that he's sharing with. So if you like your build to that point and you have your three guys, let's say, and you say, okay, who's a league winner here? Is it Dobbins with the safer floor or is it Corum with the safer ceiling? You know, and that's really like in, we're talking probably round 9 through 11 with those type of players, right? Then it starts to go a little bit further. So if you're looking at it as, do I want to take a Tyjae Spears, a Dylan Sampson, that type of player, or even look way further down the ADP list and certainly a lot of people's draft boards, a Ray Davis or a Marshawn Lloyd, right? Because if Sampson gets the job, is he the featured guy in Cleveland? Maybe. Is Spears the feature guy in Tennessee? Maybe. But I think if the Packers have an injury or if the Bills have an injury, yeah, it could be still sharing, you know, Ty Johnson and Ray Davis, but Ray Davis could be an absolute monster, right? So, like, those are easy late round targets. Now, again, we're talking different ADP and those type of things. But I think when you look at it, like, at the end of your bench, swing for the fences as much as you can. Those guys may be cut early in your year because they're not even playing. But by the end of the season, that player, even in a shared situation, I mean, look, Blake Corum at the end of the season last year was startable. You know, so you may get to a situation where Kyle Manungai was startable. You know, those type of players, if they get the chance to start, could be awesome.
Yeah, the only guy I wouldn't personally buy into would be Dylan Sampson because I think Raheem Sanders would mix in there quite a bit.
No, I'm saying avoid Sampson.
Yeah. But I think
what I'm getting at is like if you're talking about Ray Davis versus Dylan Sampson,
yeah, Ray Davis.
Sampson is going to help you more now.
Yeah, for whatever that's.
Davis is going to win you a league.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, yeah, yeah. No, totally on the same page. And to me, I just don't, I don't really understand how Blake Corum and Colin Nangai go about 3 to 4 rounds later than Travion Henderson. Just, I don't want to pick on Travion Henderson every episode, but unless I'm missing something here, what are we talking about? Any of those three guys, if the starting running back or the other running back gets hurt, they all could be great. And any of them might have flex value on a given week. What are you buying Travion Henderson in round 5 for when you can get Corum and Menangai in round 8 or 9?
I think that makes sense. The only pushback I would give you is that Travion's playing behind a guy that feels like he's on a little bit less footing than the other two.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I could see that. I could see that. Corum, by the way, is apparently having a great camp and looks super explosive. And honestly, I love Kyren Williams. I think he's a terrific player. I'm not sure that Blake Corum isn't better, which is me praising. That's my praising Corum, not insulting.
It's got to be Kyren. It's got to be his pass blocking. If he can get that to the level of Kyren Williams, who, you know, does it at a very good level. At least I don't know what his rating is, but you know, I know what my eyes tell me that,
yeah,
and what the Rams say. Like, they love him in that spot. So
yeah, Kyren is a guy who plays almost every. No, that's not true. He plays almost every, I was going to say he plays almost every snap, but he doesn't because of Corum. But he plays all the time on third down. He just never gets targeted. But just the fact that Kyren is on the field on third down all the time, maybe they change that up this year. Maybe they mix Corum in more. But the history is Kyren is always there. That at least gives him the opportunity to surprise us with more catches this season.
If you're very hopeful for Corum, you're hopeful that the Rams are in a lot of blowouts.
Yeah. I agree, and I think they probably will be. So this I talked a lot about on the wide receiver show, but the trends, I've done the research back for the last 8 years, is that it's a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit easier to find good wide receivers later in the draft than it is at running back. More, if you look at guys who have finished in the top 12 of the two positions, a little bit higher of percentage of those running backs were drafted in rounds 1 and 2 compared to the wide receivers. I mentioned that over the last 2 seasons, when you look at the top 6 running backs over the last 2 years and the top 6 wide receivers over the last 2 years, well, 11 of those 12 running backs were drafted in rounds 1 and 2. Only 7 of those wide receivers were drafted in rounds 1 and 2. So running back has been a little bit more top heavy. And when you start getting past round 7 or so, you're able to find wide receivers. They're not going to necessarily win you your league, although they could be Chris Olave last year. They could be Zay Flowers at the end of round 6 or something like that. But better values typically at the receiver position, which kind of makes sense. There's so many more wide receivers that we draft. There are so many more wide receivers that are fantasy relevant than running backs. So there's just more opportunities. So, Jamie, let's get your wide receiver preview, if you don't mind. Give me your overall strategy at that position.
I think there's easy to take one of the top 4 in the first round. If you're at the back end of the first round, it becomes a little bit tougher to sell the upside of CeeDee Lamb because of George Pickens there and the upside of Justin Jefferson because of the quarterback situation. Both could be awesome. They are both ranked for me at the back end of round 1. If I am going to take a wide receiver in that spot, those would be the two guys I would be choosing from. I think if you're going to go wide receiver with your first 2 picks, it's got to be one of the top 4 guys and somebody falling to you that you really love. So that could be London, could be Brown, could be Rice, could be Nico Collins. I think once you get past those guys, at least for me, I'm probably looking at other spots. I would factor in Brock Bowers as well as somebody I would take ahead of some of those wide receivers. I love the value for a lot of the wide receivers in rounds 3 through 6. I just think that there's so much potential, so much upside. When you talk about Abuka and Flowers, hopefully taking a step forward with his touchdowns, Devontae Smith without A.J. Brown there, Luther Burden if he's healthy. There's just so much to love about the high-end wide receiver twos. Mm-hmm. T. Higgins gets pushed down. He scored 21 touchdowns in the last 27 games. I mean, like, if he's healthy and Joe Burrow's healthy, like, you know what he's going to give you. And when we talk about, like, touchdowns are the hardest thing to predict, when a guy does that, it's not hard to predict. He's probably going to be in the neighborhood of 10 touchdowns, you know. So yeah.
Higgins, you right? So you're talking about T. Higgins?
That group of guys that there's still questions of, but the upside's there. I mean, Garrett Wilson last year finally started to put it together, and then he gets hurt. Malik Nabers, the upside is immense if he's healthy. I still think Chris Olave is going to have a good enough season. You know, he's in the round 3 range. But I love DJ Moore. I think Jaden Wall is going to have a good enough season if he's healthy. Hopefully this groin injury isn't sort of, I think it's groin injury, but leg injury that he's dealing with is not going to be a problem for him. You know, you start to look at the back end of this group where you still have, I think, Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, Christian Watson is somebody I'm very excited about. And Romo Dunze now, you know, his value can skyrocket. So there's, you know, I think you said 26, 20, you know, to me, it's almost like 30 guys. You know, Jameson Williams, another guy having a great camp that we're kind of all over the map on, you know, with the addition of Drew Petzing and what the offense is going to look like. But, you know, he's still going to have a lot of big weeks. Marvin Harrison, after a dismal camp, has really turned things on and, you know, making play after play. So there's just a lot of depth to this position that I think you can look at and say, okay, if I don't take a wide receiver early, I can still be very good at that position. And that's kind of why, you know, I'm not afraid to go running back, especially, again, if you're at the back end of the first round.
Yeah, and maybe I'm a fool, but I like the old guys still, ones that are going round five. I don't love McLaurin as much now because of Diggs and because of Tunsil. And because he just really hasn't had that great of a career, honestly, for fantasy. Been good, not great. He's basically going where he deserves to go based on his career. But you're hoping there's more there for McLaurin because the one year he really played with Jaden Daniels was his best season. But the DJ Moore, Mike Evans, Devontae Adams, Terry McLaurin group, I happen to like quite a bit. And I don't want to necessarily pass it up. If I took wide receivers in rounds 3 and 4, which I may have, I'm almost certainly not going with a wide receiver in round 5. And I'll say one more thing about those wide receivers in round 5. I like them. I think I like them better than the running backs there. I do. I like them better than Montgomery and Tuten and Bucky Irving. I'm not saying that all those wide receivers are going to be better than all those, but in general, I'd rather need a wide receiver in round 5 than a running back. However, I'd much rather have one of those quarterbacks there. That's when Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels and Drake May might be available, and Lamar Jackson. Now, you're hoping that one of them falls there, maybe, but if one of those four guys falls, so quarterbacks 2 through 5 in the rankings, those seem to me like better picks than any of the running backs and wide receivers. That doesn't mean you have to take one there, but that would be the time where I think quarterback really comes into play. When we're starting to look at the riskier picks at running back and receiver.
Yeah, and scoring matters. You know, again, I'll reference the flex draft. So that's a 4-point for passing touchdown league. And so, again, I told you how I started. Puka at the 4 spot, Drake London, Trey McBride, T. Higgins, DeAndre Swift, Tony Pollard. My next pick was Drake May. You know, yeah, so like there were running backs on the board that probably would have helped that position a lot more. But if Drake May is Drake May, that's a steal. That was the 3rd quarterback. Again, analyst draft, 4 points for passing touchdowns. So put that in context. We're quarterbacks, we know in those type of formats, especially with other analysts, they fall. But like, I wasn't just going to reach for a running back because, oh, I didn't like my running backs. I'm going to take the best player on the board. And he was by far the best player on the board.
I think that team is phenomenal. I guess I didn't realize that you don't have to start a tight end. So the McBride pick's not as good as I thought, but I still think that's a phenomenal
Can start. I tell you that I didn't remember that we didn't start a tight end either. So I was shocking. I was running late, and I had made my first pick on the app in a taxi in an Uber.
Wait, can I interrupt real quick? Because I was at the bar. They were waiting for Jamie. He was the last guy to show up for the draft. And I said, I will draft for Jamie until he gets here. And Jake Seeley, who ran the draft, said, now he's drafting from his phone in the car. I'm like, damn it, I really wanted to draft for
Jamie. So, I mean, you would have taken Puka at 4.
Yeah.
I was there for the 2nd pick. So you would have taken London because you were very much in agreement when I drafted him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I wouldn't have known the rules, so I would have taken McBride. And
right. So McBride's there in round 3. Now, listen, if I was doing it differently, the one player that I would have taken, because I like Devontae Smith a lot, would have been Devontae Smith. So that'll be one that I track, you know. Will McBride outscore Devontae Smith? But yeah, that's otherwise I think we were lockstep.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Well, I'm just saying I would have liked to have once I got there, I was like, damn, I regret not being in this league. That would have been fun. So all right, so we talked about kind of those wide receivers there, and then you know, I know you like Christian Watson a lot. I guess at what point do you feel like we are drafting? Well, at what point do we run out of players that you think have a realistic shot to be top 12? Like after the Watson range?
Be top 12?
Yeah, I could see Mike Evans being top 12. I could see DJ Moore being top 12. I don't think they're going to be top five, but I could certainly see them having that kind of year.
That's fair. So I have it right now. Washington's at 25. Adams is at 26. Evans is at 27. Watson's at 28, if I have it correctly. You know, so probably that group, maybe Odunze at 29.
Okay. Then we've got, these are consensus rankings if you're watching.
Yeah, Heath is much lower on Mike Evans. That's why it drives his cost down.
Marvin Harrison Jr., Brian Thomas Jr. I know we like Josh Downs a lot. How do you feel about the rookies?
It's hard to get excited about Mekhi Lemon right now, just with the injury, the fact that he was injured in minicamp, still injured at the start of training camp. You know, he's a faller for me in my rankings. But Carnell Tate, Tyson are the first two that I would draft. Then it would be, I have the two Browns guys back to back. But again, like, you know, if you want pieces of this rookie class, Stribling's seemingly in a great spot because he's healthy, and Evans and Christian Kirk are both hurt. Ricky Pearsall's out for the season. You have Zachariah Branch, you know, looking like he's going to be the second receiver there in Atlanta. Caleb Douglas might be the best receiver in Miami this year, you know, especially if Chris Bell is still limited coming off of the ACL tear. We'll see how that goes. So there's a lot of good players here. You know, again, Cyrus Allen, you got Xavier Worthy, as you said, banged up a little bit. And Jacoby Lane could end up being the touchdown guy for the Ravens, maybe at the expense of both Mark Andrews and Zay Flowers based on his size and how he profiles. So there's a lot to like about this rookie class late. But I think if you're talking early, it would be Tate as early probably as round six, Tyson probably as early as round seven. I would probably look for him closer to round eight. But those are the two I think that everybody should be chasing if you're chasing the rookie class.
I mean, I'm pretty amazed when I look at the rankings and I see Mekhi Lemon at 50 in our consensus rankings. We got Casey Concepcion, who is a first-round pick with a ton of talent. The kind of guy that might just shatter his ADP. Usually we get, last year was an exception, usually we get two rookie wide receivers every year that are drafted after pick 97 or later, the beginning of round nine in a 12-team league, and finish as a top 24 player or top 24 wide receiver either overall or per game. You go back to a couple years ago, it was Brian Thomas Jr. and Ladd McConkey. Casey
last year had what, one?
No, I think we had zero last year.
Oh, I guess Ibuka fell off at the end because he was the only one that was drafted later than that, right?
I don't know if... I actually think he was top 24 overall or per game. I don't think he ended up with an ADP that late. He was such a riser, man. Like, we were people would love him, and for good reason.
Yeah.
But you've got Matthew Golden, who was a first round pick two years ago, and now, you know, he's got an opportunity. And if we go back, Thomas, to the page before that, there we go. Thank you. Jordan Addison, Quentin Johnston, Quentin Johnston's ADP right now is after pick 100. Jordan Addison is around the same thing. He's 109th. I think there's such good value. Michael Wilson, where's he going? Michael Wilson's going 89th, so he's actually going ahead of those guys. But however it falls, in some drafts it might be Michael Wilson going ahead of Addison and Johnston and Tyson. In some drafts it might be the exact opposite. But boy, we have some exciting players in this range.
And just while we're on this page, just something that has been on my mind lately with all the Parker Washington hype. So I think there's three guys that kind of fall in the same category. They're smallish slot type receivers. Parker Washington, Josh Downs, Wandell Robinson. Prior to the groin injury for Downs, he was getting some buzz as well. So like I think I said this on one of my last shows, like if you miss on Washington, just get Downs like mm-hmm. a round or two later. If you miss on Downs, get Wandell Robinson. Mm-hmm. You know, he's another guy having a strong camp and I think getting overlooked a little bit. I know Dave's very excited about him. I don't think he's getting 140 targets like he's gotten each of the last 2 years in Brian Daboll's offense. But if we get a mix of the two seasons of Robinson, last year was unbelievable. The year before, he was kind of just a good low-end wide receiver too, more in PPR than any other format because, again, all the volume. But still, like the tier of the ADP versus what the production could be, Wandell Robinson's resume is obviously better than both those guys combined. So somebody that you can get at a cheaper cost and I think could still be a good value pick for your team.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you say. Just changing the subject a little bit here. I want to look at last year's ADP at wide receiver and see if I like this group. Let's see if I can go back to memory lane here. Wide receiver 40, and with Jacoby Myers was wide receiver 40. He was still on the Raiders. Matthew Golden as a rookie. Cooper Kupp. I didn't really like Cooper Kupp that much, I don't think. No. Jordan Addison, but we're talking about wide receiver 42. Jordan Addison.
Addison was suspended, though. Keep that in mind.
Who was?
Addison.
Okay. Three games, was it?
I think so.
Yeah. Khalil Shakir, I probably love that pick. Chris Godwin.
I think we all did.
I probably like that pick. Michael Pittman, I don't know. I don't know. Keon Coleman.
Was a steal. The way he started the season last year was awesome.
Yeah. Keon Coleman, I love that. 118th overall.
I think we all did.
So I'm sure I was excited about those guys. And the reality is most guys getting picked this late, or you're not going to get major fantasy contributions there. I understand.
I think
you
look at the profiles of these guys, right? Addison, Sutton, you know, he's been, I don't know if he's holding in, looking for a trade. He hasn't been practicing very much. Sutton, Addison, Johnston, maybe Tyson, maybe Wilson. They're going to be touchdown guys, right? If they score a bunch of touchdowns, you're going to get great return on your investment. If they don't score, you're not going to get a lot of targets for those guys, especially, you know, if Juwan Jennings is a factor in Minnesota and what Johnston, you know, is dealing with, if Trey Harris is actually a thing, et cetera. Then you have, you know, the guys that should get some targets, which is Wandell Robinson and probably Pittman is a new role. Coker, to me, could be a steal. Debo and Diggs are kind of wild cards at this point. They're older guys, but, you know, obviously they're going to be called upon in their offenses. So this is just, you know, I think it's kind of like a pick your poison of, am I shooting for a lot of touchdowns and maybe more? Then you're taking Sutton, Addison, Johnston. If I'm shooting for targets and opportunities, I'm probably looking at a Wandell Robinson type of guy.
All right. Good options late at wide receiver. Any final thoughts you want to give before we wrap it up?
I think when you get to the late rounds, you know, and we talked about this with the running backs, like you're taking guys that have high upside. So those rookies that we talked about, you know, they may not do something early in the season, but Douglas, Lane, Cyrus Allen, and guys that have, you know, I think untapped potential. The name that I keep gravitating toward a lot is Jalen Naylor. And so far, he's been, by all accounts, the best receiver for the Raiders. He's not going to lead the team in targets, assuming Brock Bowers is healthy. He's probably going to be number two. And so why not? Why not Caleb Douglas? Why not those type of players that just, there's opportunities there. And again, you're looking at what they could become. They're going to be maybe the first guy you cut. Who cares? Stribling, same thing. If everybody's injured in San Francisco, by the way, go check out the Substation account on X. It's hilarious. have you seen it?
No.
Oh, it's so funny. It's just like taking shots at the, let me see if I can find like a one that it's done. But take shots on guys that are going to get targets. And I think that's just the easy way to look at it. Like you could go about lots of different metrics and what's going to happen, but like, you know, the opportunity for guys to get targets. All right. So here's, it's called, it's at SC Substation. They're now up to 21,000 followers. 6 days ago, this was their pinned post on X. I'm just here doing my job and everyone is mad at me. Where's a good one?
I just have one point to make while you look for that. As I get to the later rounds of drafts, talking about round 9-ish or so, there's a point where we're talking in the Josh Downs, Quentin Johnston, Jordan Addison range, Jordan Tyson, I like a lot there, even Mekhi Lemon. I like those guys better than the running backs. I'm not really in on Gainwell or Chuba Hubbard at this point. So I probably, if I could, would go wide receiver at that point in the draft and then come back. And if I need a running back, then I'm looking at Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, Jordan Mason. You're getting a starting running back in round 9 or 10. So I would, it's just a few names there. But that's kind of how I would look at it. I'd rather pass on Gainwell and Jonathan, and not necessarily Jonathan Brooks, but I'd rather pass on Gainwell Chuba Hubbard in particular, and then take a wide receiver there and then look at Bill or Jordan Mason. I also would like, hopefully I can get Blake Corum or Kamenangai in that stretch as well. But I have a feeling you'll be able to accomplish both. Like I'd love to walk away with Quentin Johnston and Blake Corum. Those would be two picks.
But doesn't that kind of depend on how your first several rounds have gone?
I mean, my team's pretty awesome at that point, I just assume. So no. I guess if I were going to walk away with one wide receiver and one running back, you know, it'd be either Johnston or Josh Downs and either Corum or Kamenangai. And if I miss on them, Jordan Mason. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Again, you're talking about guys that have high upside. You know, the problem is that everybody's chasing those guys if they're doing their homework.
But there's a ton of guys in this ADP. I'm just picking the guys that kind of stand out to me. Yeah. And I don't think you need to take a quarterback there, because if you don't take a quarterback there, you can still get someone who's probably just as good. I mean, you'll see how your draft falls, but you can get Jared Goff even after that.
He's the late round target of choice.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome ADP right now, Jared Goff. Thanks for watching and listening, everybody. We will talk to you on Tuesday with another edition of Fantasy Football Today. Also, join us Tuesday night for our live stream at 7 p.m. Eastern. And go to tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. The auction is going to be open for the Beyond the Box Score Dynasty League. Hopefully, we'll raise a lot of money through that. And we'll talk to you later on Fantasy Football Today.
Podcasts. When your day moves fast, between getting everyone out the door, meal prepping, and trying to find a small moment for yourself, the products you use should make things easier, not harder. That's where Ello comes in. Ello makes thoughtfully designed water bottles, tumblers, and glass food storage containers that fit right into your life, making hydration and storing meals easy, even on your busiest days. Visit elloproducts.com and use code TRYELLO20 for 20% off your first purchase. That's ELLOproducts.com, code TRYELLO20. Hello 20.